I'm reading from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbour's. Bless that reading to us all.
Amen. Good morning. We had read before the Ten Commandments. It's always good, I think, to be reminded of that summary of God's law, especially before we come before the communion table. I'm sure it hasn't escaped you that this Sunday is known by many as Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day. And I must admit, I'm not a great fan of Mother's Day for the reasons I'm about to tell you. I quite like the bare concept, that day in the year when we focus on mothers in particular and we acknowledge the wonderful things that they have done. And yet for many people it's a difficult Sunday. Well, while I was preparing I thought, well, what are the origins of it? And if you go back into Greek and Roman times, they had a particular day of the year in which they honoured their mothers and they also worshipped their mother goddesses, which perhaps isn't very great. Pre-Reformation churches spent a particular day before Easter when they honoured, stroke worshipped the Virgin Mary in particular, but also would then present flowers to their own mothers. In the 17th century, there was a day in March when apprentices and servants would be encouraged to go home to the part of the country from where they'd come and to spend that day with their mothers. But it had kind of died out by the 19th century. We'd kind of forgotten all about it. Then in the 20th century, it was resurrected. Why was it resurrected? A part of me is cynical and suspects that some clever retailers decided that if they wanted to boost sales after Christmas, after St. Valentine's Day, and they could bring about this Sunday whereby you go into a shop and you're pressured into buying some flowers or some balloons or something to celebrate Mother's Day. Well, cynicism or not, many of us do it. However, let me assure you, I know that this is sometimes a day where some people avoid coming to church. For some of us, our mothers have passed on, and we don't want to be reminded of that. For some of us, our children have passed on, and we don't want to be reminded of that either. Some of us had mothers that abandoned us or didn't treat us as they ought to have treated us. Well, single people, perhaps childless people, might feel this is the day when perhaps they won't come to church. I also know it's a day when sometimes men try and avoid, because they think it's going to be all soppy and sentimental and nothing to do with them. And I have sympathy for every one of those views, to the extent by which I can assure you I'm not preaching on mothers this morning. But what I will do is preach on that commandment which says to honour your father and mother. I'm not interested in pagan origins. I'm not interested in the Virgin Mary. I'm not interested in making people whose relationships with their mothers has either ended or has proved uncomfortable. But what I am interested in is looking at that commandment in the 12th verse of that 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Of course, the Ten Commandments are not the entirety of God's law. They are something of a summary. They are a version which can be committed to memory. And it's interesting, along with all those rules such as do not murder and do not steal and do not commit adultery, which we'd all agree, yes, they ought to be there in any summary, there's also a commandment from God that says, your mother and your father, you are to honour them. So, Mothering Day or not, we are told to honour our mother and father. There are two versions of the Ten Commandments, at least, in the Bible. There's another version in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. They almost say the same thing, but there is a slightly longer version. An extra clause is added in verse 16. It says, honour your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, first of all, who is that command talking about? It's talking to us, it was talking to the Israelites, but of whom does it describe? Your father and your mother. Our natural parents, our biological parents, the lady, the woman in whom we were created. Isn't creation wonderful? Sometimes I preach in inner city churches and you can see windows and you think, well, there's nothing out there that might inspire you to say amen to, isn't creation wonderful? But we at Martin Top have no such excuse. We are surrounded by the loveliness of creation. Even though it is in the fallen world, it's beautiful. And Genesis chapters 1 and 2 describe how God created. He saw that it was good. And yet at the same time, something wonderful takes place inside the mother. An act of creation takes place. Psalm 139 naturally springs to mind at this point, which says in the 13th verse, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God chose inside your mother to repeat the act of creation and to create another human being. Our mothers should be honoured because they were the place where God continued to create life. And he saw that it is good. Sometimes mothers don't always plan for every pregnancy. Sometimes people don't know they are pregnant, but God knows. Because while that tiny little child is inside its mother, God is forming it and making it and creating it and is thinking of the life which lay ahead of it. We ought to honour our father and our mothers, but our mothers in particular, because God has used them to do something astonishing and amazing. Some people, though, were not brought up by their biological parents. I dare say there are people we know who might have come out of one particular woman, but that woman didn't really contribute very much to the upbringing. We might be thinking of other people if, for example, we were adopted or someone else looked after us. I was brought up by my grandmother. I didn't come out of her. My grandmother is, to all intents and purposes, my mother. And yet in the Bible, I think there's an allowance for that of the spiritual parent. You know, when we become a Christian, we use that expression to be born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, except a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. When you become a Christian, you become a new person. The old has gone. The new has come. You are a new creation. Your body remains the same. You'll get a new one day. But this body remains the same. But it's almost like you become a new person. You've started again. You've received new life in Christ. And many of us can look at different people and know we have got spiritual mothers as well. There's a lady over in Lancaster. She was here at the induction, sat at the side there. And she was my Sunday school teacher and my Sunday school superintendent. And she, with my grandmother, led me to the Lord. I never came out of her. She's an unmarried woman. And yet she, for me, is one of my mothers in the Lord. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13, Paul writes one of those little comments which he didn't think anybody would read too much into. But it's a wonderful comment. It says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Now, it could be, of course, that Rufus is Paul's literal biological brother. Somehow I doubt that. I think this mother of Rufus, who remains unnamed, is Paul's spiritual mother. Maybe she looked after him. Maybe she gave him that care and that love that even a great apostle needed. Paul's mother had perhaps passed on, or at any rate, she lived at the other side of the empire. But this woman mothered him in the best meaning of the word. I believe that when scripture says, honour your father and mother, it is not narrowing itself to the biological parentage from which we come. It's saying, honour those people who have looked after you, who have cared for you, who fed you, and especially those of the household of faith who looked after you as a Christian, as a believer. Who, when you were feeling down, you went to them and they cheered you up. And when you fell, they picked you up. And when you got it wrong, they told you you got it wrong. And they told you in love. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, says the apostle. Honour this day your spiritual mothers and fathers. And here's a challenge. Do you have spiritual children? I'm not interested in physical, biological children. You may or may not have those, but I can tell you now. There are Christians who need people to look after them, to guide them, and to guard them, and to encourage them. Be unto them a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. Why though? Why should we honour our parents, be they biological or emotional or spiritual? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, straight away, the first reason given in the text is that as the Lord your God has commanded you. God has appointed the order by which parents are greater than their children. God has ordered it that angels are greater than human beings and parents are greater than their children. You might be better educated than your parents. You might earn and have more money than your parents. You might, dare I say, even be morally better than your parents. But scripture is absolutely clear. You still honour them because it is part of God's ordering that children honour those who are greater than them. and parents are greater than their children. He says, as the Lord your God has commanded you. I remember when I was a child and I'd be asked to do something which I, in my childish wisdom, deemed unsuitable, like tidy your room or eat your vegetables. I would often challenge that and say, why? And the reason invariably given was, because I told you so. And of course, you might go into all the detail of why vegetables are full of iron, or this, that, and the other, or because if you don't have a tidy room, it's an untidy mind, or you can't find things. But my mother simply said, because I told you so. And she was absolutely right. She didn't have to give a reason. She didn't have to justify her requirements. And neither does God. Why do we honour our father and mother? Because it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16, because the Lord your God has commanded you. If God has commanded it, we simply do it. That's why we do it. It goes on though to give other reasons. It says that your days may be long. Well, what does that mean? Clearly there's only 24 hours in a day, no matter how much you honour your parents. Of course, it's really an expression for lifespan or life expectancy, which of course might ask us, we might ask the question, well, you know, if you honour your parents, you live a long time, and if you don't honour them, you don't. Well, of course, I'm sure we know people who've been very, very good children who honoured their parents who died young, and some rotten old villains who've lived a long time. Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That, of course, is a proverb. It's not a guaranteed promise. It's a general observation. And I put it to you that a child who obeys and honours its mother and father, who when they teach it good manners, it takes in that teaching, when it understands that there are certain things you can do and certain things you can't do, that child is likely to live longer. I was taught by my mother that before you cross a road, you look both ways. That's why I'm still alive. Children who were well brought up. And I know there are always exceptions, I know that. Perhaps are taught consideration of other people. And that when someone looks at them in a funny way, don't feel the need to smash the face in and get into a fight. I think the expression here, that your days may be long, speaking to the ancient Israelites, is that if you teach a child the difference between right and wrong, if that child is taught to honour its mother and father, to obey its mother and father, it will grow into a considerate, ordered being who's likely to live longer than the person who dies in a careless accident or gets into some fight, because that's the only way they know how to handle their difficulties and their problems. Children need teaching the difference between right and wrong. The book of Romans is absolutely clear that we are born depraved. We are born wicked. God has so ordered that human government is the instrument of God by which sin is limited. Of course, it's imperfect and it doesn't always work very well. But our courts are doing God's work. By punishing lawbreakers and protecting and keeping safe the majority, human government is the instrument of God. And I put it to you that parents running a family within a household are human government put there and ordered by God that sin might be limited. That children might know there are some things which are simply wrong. And there are ways of behaviour which are to be encouraged. I was speaking to a class about this the other day. Year 10 class, fourth years, 14, 15 years old. And I asked them, you know, why do you fall out with parents? I think there was a point behind it. I can't remember what the point was. It certainly wasn't my sermon preparation. But they said things like how they've got to be in by a certain time. And they thought that was unreasonable. And I pointed out that one day they'll have children and they'll make exactly the same order to their children. And their children will react in the same way. Because when you're young, you're foolish. Sorry, but you are. Let me also say, scripture says it's better to be a poor but wise youth than an old and foolish king that cannot be rebuked. Being old doesn't guarantee wisdom, I'm afraid. But God uses our parents that when we are being brought up, they teach us that there are some actions which we simply should not do. Mothers, in particular, as well as parents, are a picture of God. God is our Father, but also in the 23rd of Matthew, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Here the Lord likens himself to a mother hen wanting to protect chicks which are prone to wander. So the Lord wants to protect his foolish and wayward people. And just as a mother wants to protect a foolish and wayward child, so God behaves to us. We honour our mothers and we honour our fathers because therein is a picture of our relationship with God. How? How do we honour? What does honour mean? I think it means to respect, to obey and to care for, to hold in high regard. Not just because of their character and their attributes. Your father or your mother might have been a very caring person or very knowledgeable. By all means, honour them for such. But sometimes our parents have little to commend them. Yet we still honour them. We honour them because they are our parents and God has thus ordained it. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 20, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." We are to obey our parents when their commands do not conflict with God's required will. Of course, if you're a parent, you're thinking, amen, amen. If you're a child, you might be thinking, well, scripture is clear, we are to obey them. But if they ask of us that which is wrong or that which is contrary to what God has revealed in scripture, we do not obey them. I believe honouring our parents also means that we are to care for them, to look after them in their old age. Many of us can remember our parents when they were young and strong, mentally and physically, and as the years go on, we notice the decline. Not quite so strong as they were, not quite so sharp as they were, and they need us to do things for them. The roles are reversed. Them that nursed us, we now sometimes have to nurse. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus, in one of his many altercations with the Pharisees, makes some comment regarding this commandment, honour your father and mother, from Chapter 15 verse 1, it says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded saying, honour your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honour his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." That's not exactly easy to understand straight away, but evidently there was a requirement upon Jewish men, as I guess there is today, that you provide for your parents in their old age. There were no pension funds back then. Your children are your pension fund. When you're too old to work, you hope that they will provide for you. But evidently, some of these Pharisees, that the money which they should have been using to honour their parents, to provide for their parents, they're giving to the temple, and probably making a great show of it. and saying, well, I can't possibly support you. My money's going to God. And Jesus is quite clear. You provide for your parents. Far better if your parents are struggling that you give the money to them and not in that bag. Because that's God's command, that you honour and care for. Honour is not just lip service. It's not just, oh, I honour them. It means doing something practically. Going to visit them. Going to help them. Going to see them. They were finding excuses not to fulfil that command. They're too upset about whether Jesus' disciples washed their hands before a meal. Not for hygiene purposes, I ought to add. Whilst at the same time failing to obey the command. In other words, these Pharisees are defiled because they failed to honour their mother and their father. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about this commandment and describes it as the first command with a promise. Do not murder, do not steal. But the one that says, honour your father and mother, talks about, for you will live long in the land. And I have already said, I believe the original meaning of that was simply an observation of fact. A well-brought up child who honours their parents by obeying them is likely to live longer. And yet I cannot but wonder that we in the New Covenant can read more into it. Of course, we do not live in the land. The land was Israel. We don't live in Israel. And I don't encourage anyone to emigrate there either. It would make no difference. Britain is not the land. America is not the land. But I'm reminded of Abraham in the 11th of Hebrews, of whom it said, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. One day we will live in the land. Not the earthly land of Israel, but the new Jerusalem which comes down from heaven. And when it says that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, I believe that for we who live after the cross have there a picture of heaven. I'm saying to you, and this is the note upon which I'm going to finish. If you are a Christian, one of the evidences of your Christianity is that you honour your mother and father. And I appreciate that will take different forms for different people. For some, it means shutting up when they rant at you. For others, it means pushing them round the park. For others, it means going to visit them in the care home. For others, it means having them live with you. How we honour our parents is for us to work out. And yet, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Heaven is populated by people who have honoured their mother and father. Honouring your mother and father does not get you to heaven. We are going to heaven. Therefore, we honour our mother and father. I don't care if it's Mothering Sunday or Mother's Sunday or Mother's Day. Call it what you will. But this much I do know, the Bible is clear, Old Testament and New. Honour your parents, honour your spiritual parents, honour those who simply fed you and cared for you, an auntie, a next door neighbour. Honour them, because that is God's command. We're going to sing a hymn together in closing. 486. After the service on the way out, in true Martin Top fashion, every woman to mark the day will receive some flowers as our way as a chapel of honouring our mothers. Fathers, when they've stopped flowering, you can dig them into the ground for next year.